Hey there, 3CMA, and welcome to the 41st episode of 3CMA Comcast. Hope you're doing well as we move through the winter of 2024. I'm Tom Bryson with 3CMA, and we're going to do something a little different on today's show. So many of our members are new to the profession, while ever-increasing numbers of us that have done it for a few decades are starting to retire out. So today we're going to get the perspectives from members at each end of the career arc. First, from the millennial end of the spectrum, he is a tech and creative enthusiast with a dedication to learning and innovation across various media domains, including art direction, branding, graphic design, photography, video, audio, and more. From the city of Kent, Washington, it's multimedia supervisor Josh Gonzalez. And from the seasoned side of the scale, she was director of marketing and communications for the city of Skokie, Illinois for 25 years, working with elected officials, community groups, appointed boards and commissions, business leaders, fellow governments, and peers with a track record of leadership, innovation, and consensus building. Since retiring from local government, she's now president of Ann Tennis Communications, LLC. Say hello to Ann Tennis. Guys, how are y'all doing? Glad you could be here.
Thank you for having us.
Really nice to be here. Thank you, Tom.
Absolutely. Want to really thank you for taking the time. Again, this occurred to me in the last several conferences that the massive influx of new members to 3CMA means a new take on the profession from the new folks that are coming forward. And since few of us ever set out from school to be local government communicators, we wound up being local government communicators. Thank goodness we did. I'd like to ask you each how you found your way into the profession with your respective cities. Josh, let's start with you.
Yeah, so I worked in nonprofit organizations, and I did a lot of multimedia, you know, area kind of work, graphic design, audio engineering, all sorts of, you know, fun stuff, and landed an opportunity with a school, a college here in, here in Washington called Pierce College, and we started building out systems integrations and doing that kind of work, technical work as well, and wound up seeing a position for a multimedia role in government, in city government, and I thought, wow, that's an incredible opportunity for someone with my type of skills to find, and sure enough, it was a dream job, and I've been enjoying it since.
And that's 6 years in now, right?
That's 6 years, yeah. But yeah, so it's been 6 years, and it's been awesome. City of Kent has been a great place to land and to really expand upon what my interests and abilities are.
Sorry. Very good, very good. So, and 25 years in any position is a milestone. So, how'd you find your way to Skokie in the first place?
It was a fun journey getting there, and it was wonderful. It was a wonderful ride once there. My very first professional job out of college was as the executive director of a Keep America Beautiful affiliate in a suburb of Chicago. That suburb belonged to a regional solid waste agency. So at the time, recycling and sustainability people were just starting to speak that language. And I had the really good fortune of, you know, the public works guys didn't want to deal with it. They, you know, didn't know what this was. So the city manager asked me if I would become the expert on recycling and recycling and sustainability. That led me to a communications position with the regional solid waste agency. I was their community affairs director first and then the assistant director. I was in that position for 6 years. On a monthly basis, interacted with dozens and dozens of city managers, mayors, elected officials. When the village of Skokie created their director of marketing and communications position, it was brand new. The city manager and I were friendly. I was in grad school at the time, and I had reached out to him several times to interview him for different projects. And one day I'm just sitting at it was the Friday before Memorial Day. I get this letter from him saying, "Ann, we haven't talked about your career goals in a while, but we've created this new position. Call me if you have any interest." And the rest is history. I was ready to make a change. I still speak garbage, Okay, I still speak recycling and garbage, but that was how I started with the Village of Skokie, and I was there for 25 years.
It's amazing how that serendipity comes to play from time to time. So I read somewhere on the internet, so it must be true, that millennials will have, on average, 14 jobs by the time they're 35. Now, Josh, I'm not asking you how many jobs you've had or exactly how old you are, but as you are 6 years in with the city of Kent, are you at a place where you see government communications as a career path at this point?
Yes. Yeah. So I have not had as many jobs as that.
Good.
I try to stay at a company for as long as I can, and I try to really find opportunities to, to develop and to just kind of find a newer role for myself. But at the City of Kent, no, it's been a great opportunity, and I've really been able to, in my short period of time, grow. I got hired on as an art direction coordinator, which was more of a graphic designer role. And within, 4 years, I got promoted to a supervisor role, overseeing that same team. And so it's been great. And I think part of it for me is, coming from the multimedia side of things where it was more technical, more creative, that role, into learning more about the communication government and making sure that residents know about what's happening and storytelling and helping with, using our creativity to tell those stories. I think that's been the biggest thing that I've learned and really enjoyed.
And do you have upward mobility there at the city? Is there more direction to go?
So I think that's where, the 3CMA mentorship program has been awesome, just starting that program out, because there is upward mobility in other areas. However, when it comes to communications, right, there's, me and then my boss and that's kind of the end of the road there. But it's always great to learn about, how I can improve upon communications and how I can continue to grow and learn in that area.
Well, nice plug for the 3CMA Connect Mentorship Program. Appreciate that. Josh is someone we just placed in the program very recently, and in fact, is a veteran of the program. So anybody that wants to find out more about the program, side commercial, 3CMA.org/mentor. Now, and when you started with Skokie, did you anticipate hanging in there for 25 years? Is that what you saw as a career path immediately, or did it develop over time?
I've always had a passion for government. It was instilled in me from my father. My father was very politically active in he was a business owner, small business owner, but he was always very politically active in our community. And a couple times he did hold public office at school board and township levels. Illinois has many, many layers of government.
Sure.
So did I know that I'd be with Skokie 25 years? No. But I knew that I loved government communications. And one of the fun things for me, so my boss in Skokie, the former village manager, who was my boss for 15 years and the one who recruited me, he had met 3CMA founders, Dick and Pam Lilquist, at an ICMA conference when 3CMA was in its infancy.
Right.
And he was very impressed. So I joined 3CMA about a month before I even started my new job.
Wow.
And within 3 weeks of starting my position in Skokie, I was in Orlando at 3CMA's 10th annual conference.
1998.
I met the Lilquists. The incomparable Michelle Bono was the president that year, and I've maintained a really nice connection with Michelle through the years. She's terrific. So did I know I'd be in Skokie 25 years? No, I certainly didn't. But I knew I was a communicator, and I knew I had found my people.
Excellent.
At that conference.
Excellent. Absolutely. Now, people born after about 1980 or so have been described as digital natives, that is, people born into the era of technology. I know my son, born in 96, never knew an era without computers or handhelds or something he couldn't sit down and figure out how to do. The rest of us digital immigrants have had to learn it as we go. After all, you know, when a lot of us grew up, we only had three channels on the TV and no computers, believe it or not. Josh, with multimedia as your job description, actually, how hard is it to keep up with the changing nature of technology in the 21st century?
I mean, technology evolves every week, it seems like, right? There's always something new, especially now with AI. We have this ever-revolving just evolution of technology. And I think as part of my role, it's a responsibility I have to keep up with those trends and to ensure that that I'm doing my due diligence in learning about what's coming out, you know, maybe not mastering it, but at least understanding it enough to communicate to our leadership and to our different departments of how they can utilize some of these technologies to further communicate their messaging, right?
At least being aware of what's coming down.
At least, yes, exactly, right. Yeah. You know, AI being one of those hot topics right now. But I think, I think keeping up with trends is very important with my career.
Now, Anne, how much did technology change in your 25 years, and how did that change inform the way you did the job?
Well, there was no such thing as social media, obviously. And in the beginning, you know, even emails, it wasn't really standard. I mean, you'd email, but a lot of stuff was faxed. You know, my office was right near the fax machine, which actually was kind of nice because I got to meet everybody. People would come and hang out, and it was sort of like the water cooler of the day.
Right.
But technology really evolved. I mean, just thinking of the evolution of the different websites and, you know, what they looked like in the beginning and what they look like now, the advent of social media, and then video. Video was huge. You know, it was more scripted and canned and, you know, not certainly the creative video, which, Josh, I went on your website, nice video of your mayor, the 2023 State of Kent, or I forget
the
title.
Oh, yeah, the mayor's progress report.
I was hoping you had a hand in that because it's great.
Yes, that's our team.
Good job.
Yep,
good job.
Josh, with more mature members of our profession, what do they need to know about the younger generation that's coming up now? Is there a common misunderstanding, or is there, more to the point, how can managers and directors today better relate to junior members of their team, better understand where they're coming from and what they're going through? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So with our team, it's actually, I think, having the right people on the team, right? So we have Gen Zers, starting from Gen Z all the way to, you know, the retiring generation, which more the boomer generation or the Gen X. And so having all of these members on our team, we're able to get different perspectives and different points of view, right? And so we're able to have conversations about when we're thinking of a new program or a new new collateral, or let's just use State of the City, or State of the City coming up as an example. It's like, okay, how can we hit all of these different target audiences? And so those are conversations that we start with, you know, okay, Gen Zers, how do we communicate with your, you know, your generation? And social media is kind of the key, right? Social media for us. And I think more importantly than that, there's also a level of authenticity that needs to happen as well with government communication. So there's social media and pushing out the messaging, but doing it in an authentic way, in a way that's going not to come across as a government. So a lot of the language and a way that we communicate on our social media, if you're not familiar with Kent, is that we do it in a very down-to-earth way. We try to use memes and we try to use humor, and we try to really use those tools to communicate with that Gen Z generation so that they become more interested in government, that they, you know, don't want to just allow or, just ignore it, but that they're like, oh, wow, you know, cities can have a sense of humor as well, you know. And so I think that is important. Just having a good blend of people within those teams, I think, is important so that, you know, you're hitting all those areas. Does that answer the question, or do
I? Yeah, I think so. I think so. Okay. And let me ask you this, somewhat related. Is there any one innovation in how we communicate, or advancement in how we communicate, you would isolate or identify as the single most important in your 25 years?
Community engagement. To me, that's it. Because in the beginning, there wasn't a lot of that. It was one-way messaging. How do we push our messaging out? And you still need to do that, and you still need to be good at it. You need to have tools to do it. As Josh, just said beautifully, you need to be creative. You need to meet them where they are. But it also has to be two-way communication. And I think that was the biggest game changer, I think, throughout the course of my career, that community engagement really became more accepted, encouraged by some of the old guard managers, tolerated, but yeah, community engagement.
Is social media the trigger for that? Is that how community engagement really got rolling?
I think it was a couple things. I think it was community engagement. And I think it was social media, but I also think any community, if you're not actively involved in community engagement, all it takes is one controversy. All it takes is one string of robberies. All it takes is one, broken water main where there's no water for 2 weeks. And right. All of a sudden, you're going to be in the thick of community engagement in a way that is not comfortable. So
ain't that
if
the
you
truth?
Can get ahead of it and establish those relationships and those lines of communications ahead of time, you have to. So I think it was social media, but I also think, I know in Skokie, it really started with I used the example a moment ago of a string of robberies. Skokie's, and I want to be really clear, Skokie's a very safe community. I'm sitting in my kitchen in the middle of Skokie right now. I chose to make it my home. But, there was a time, one cold winter, where there were a lot of robberies. And a group of residents were not satisfied with, what they thought was happening in the way of communications from the police department. And it snowballed. And we were suddenly behind the eight ball. And boy, we learned some tough lessons from that. And we never looked back. The community engagement and two-way became just standard operating practice from then on.
That's very insightful. Speaking of advances in technology, I know on my first day in local government, which was January 2nd, 1990, there was a typewriter on my desk and no computers in the building. On my last day, 31 years later, we're all carrying more computing power in our pockets and our purses than NASA took to the moon. Video production shifted, like we said, from the cable channel to online platforms. As you beautifully said, engagement has become a centerpiece of what we do now. So asking you both to look into your crystal ball, Josh, what do you think this job looks like 20 years from now?
It's funny because, you mentioned technology, you mentioned video. I feel like, what Ann said is really important. So we've done programs like Drinks in the Driveway, and which is just going out to the field and meeting people where they're at, in their neighborhoods, in their residences, having these opportunities to meet with city officials, our chief of police, our, public works director, to ask those vital questions and have that conversation back and forth. So as much as we rely on technology to push, to push our messaging, I think what I see happening is actually more in-person stuff, more of that back and forth conversation. And if it's not an in-person, it's going to be a digital conversation similar to what we have going on. I think there's going to be more of that. I think that's what, at least from what I understand, is those conversations is what really is going to help this next generation trust officials and trust, our government.
Yeah, I mean, you can mass communicate all day long, but at the end of the day, that can't beat a one-on-one conversation, right?
Yeah.
And where do you see the profession being headed?
Well, Tom, a few things come to my mind, and I don't know if it's if I'm going to aptly characterize where the profession is going per se.
Okay.
But here's what I know. I think that we need to. I think it's going to be a challenge to keep the profession relevant. I think that, I shouldn't say relevant, but just making sure that people remain interested in careers in local government. I think that that's significant. putting that aside, for communicators, it's going to be what Josh said, you know, grassroots, meeting people where they are. I think there's going to be a challenge for communities to hear, make sure all voices are heard, to stay balanced and neutral. I also think, you know, in the light of some political polarization, and that's not 20 years, that's now. But I also think that the partnerships have always been important, but I believe more than ever, partnerships in communities with fellow governments, institutions, nonprofits, schools, I think those are just going to become, you know, they're important now, but I think they're going to become increasingly important.
That makes nothing but sense. Okay, this last one, Josh, this last one's for Anne. Anne, as a fellow retiree, I know there was an aha moment that hit me at one point that said, it's time. It's time to turn the page. It's time to move on to the next chapter or whatever metaphor you want to use. Did you have a similar epiphany or was it a gradual thing?
So a couple of things, Tom. I want to just clarify. I retired from my position with the Village of Skokie almost a year ago, but I'm still actively consulting on my own.
Very good.
Through Antennas Communications LLC. And then I've also joined the team of an established municipal consulting firm that does work all across the country, GovHR USA. And in that role, I'm so excited that I'm involved with recruitments. Like right now, I'm working on helping to recruit young, you know, professionals, maybe not young professionals, but professionals for two communications positions, one in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, the other one in State College, Pennsylvania. So shout out for me there, okay? But I think for me, it wasn't an aha moment. It was, I knew at some point, you know, my pension, I had accrued enough pension credit. I had other things that I wanted to do. I do memoir and creative writing. That's become a passion of mine. I play an awful lot of tennis. And I knew I wanted some, I had earned the ability to be able to step away from my full-time position so that I would have more time to do those things. I told people, though, people have reached out to me in the last year and said, you know, how on earth did you disconnect emotionally from your position? Because I loved my job. I loved it. Every single day was truly a pleasure. And I always tell people three things. One, before you go, start cultivating hobbies and things that will bring you joy. The other, so you've got to figure out how you're going to fill that space. The other thing is, you have to know that at some point you're going to have a grieve. You're going to grieve a little bit. You know, it's going to be interesting. There's going to be an adjustment period. But boy, when you get to the other side, it's an awful lot of fun.
Josh, can you envision retirement at this point?
I've talked a lot about it because people around me are retiring, but no, not ready yet, no.
I want to thank you both for taking the time to shed a little bit of light on those generational perspectives that go into our profession. It's going to, I think, speak to a lot of people and help folks really better understand how other people in their organization work. So thank you both for being here.
Really a pleasure. Thank you for the invitation, Tom. And Josh, so nice to make your acquaintance. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Nice to meet you, too.
All right. And that will do it for this edition of 3CMA Comcast. For Ann Tennis and Josh Gonzalez and for everyone at 3CMA, I'm Tom Bryson. Thanks very much for taking a few minutes of your time, and we'll see you next time.